In June last year, dozens of students of the Federal Government College Buniyarui in Kebbi, northwest Nigeria, were adopted by a terror group. It was part of a wave of school adoptions in the northwest, where armed groups have become notorious for raiding communities and highways, adopting people and demanding for ransoms. Several schools were not spared. 11 of the schoolgirls are still in captivity and have faced abuses from the abductors. This is despite constant flow of information about their status and little attempt by the terror group to mark their location or activities. The situation has led to concerns and questions around the inability of security forces and the government to rescue the schoolgirls and reunite them with their loved ones. Hello, welcome to The Crisis Room, a podcast from Human Angle. I am Murtala Abdullahi. In this podcast, we look at crisis trends across the country and answer the tough questions around them. This week, I'm here with my colleague, Umaru Ndaiki, who did a recent investigation on the conditions of the Yahuri students and the plight of the families, and also made some very interesting discoveries. Umaru, welcome to The Crisis Room.
Thank you very much for having me, Murtala.
So you did this extensive investigation. Can you give us an overview of the investigation and also the conditions of the students?
Well, I think 2 weeks ago, I was on the field. I conducted an extensive field work with many interviews to cover the plight of the school children that are still in captivity. The abduction occurred in June last year, specifically on Thursday, June 17, 2021. About 112 students were abducted from the Federal Government College Buniyarui, and they were taken to the terrorist camp. Actually, about 89 of them reportedly reached the terrorist camp. And since then, the students have been released in batches after negotiated settlements or agreement with the Kebbi State government. That is according to the parents. I have interviewed the parents of the school children that remain in captivity, about 11 of them, and also some of the children that regained their freedom.
So you mean, when was the last time the batch was released from captivity?
Well, the last person among the released victim to be released by the terrorists was released in January 2022. That is about 10 months ago.
So there's not been any more release of any of the school students since then?
Yes, since then, none of the school children has been
released. So how are the their families faring? How was the situation with their families?
Well, you know, the families have been receiving strange phone calls right from the abduction of the school children. Immediately after their abduction, the terrorists started calling the children's parents, telling them that they have married off the females among the female among them. And following that, the school children have been in constant touch over the phone. Like, they have been having phone conversations with their parents and guardians. So through those phone conversations, they have been opening up their plights and ordeals, what they are actually going through in the terrorist camp.
This is quite tough, and quite, it sounds like a very traumatic situation from the families, considering that they keep getting this flow of information and the students are able to, I believe you said they're able to communicate with their families.
Yes, they have frequent communications with their families, and during such communications, they have told their families a lot about their possible location, about what they are facing in the forest, the health challenges, the risks they have, they stand staying in the terrorist camp. It's in a deep forest where you have all sorts of reptiles and crawling animals such as scorpion, you understand. And apart from all that, they undergo daily sexual abuses by their abductors, to the extent that these children, including a 12-year-old, were reportedly married off. They are forcibly married off to their abductors, and about 4 of them have already given birth. Wow. And according to the information we have from our sources, about 2 are presently pregnant.
I don't know. So when you look at it, it's the families will be okay to hear about from their kids who are in captivity, but for them to really hear these really sad stories in terms of the conditions of their daughters, it's going to be heartbreaking. It should be heartbreaking for them.
They are honestly going undergoing a lot of psychological trauma, and a lot of them could not even endure what they are going through. Almost all the parents are now hypertensive. A lot of them didn't have high blood pressure before the abduction of their children, but almost all of them are now hypertensive. In fact, to the extent that one of them spent over a year, a 35-year-old mother, just imagine this, she spent over a year suffering from ailments caused by heart attacks.
This is, I don't know, each word, each description of the applied is really troubling, more than the previous one. But you also made a very important discovery, in the sense that the girls are able to tell a description of where they are. They're also able to make a telephone conversation. Now, this raises a lot of questions around the inability of security forces and the government to intervene, and the fact that these girls have been there for over a year. And so it's sad to see that we have not been able to bring back the girls and reunite them with their families, despite the fact that the terror groups are not in any way making an attempt to mark the abduction, or even where they are allowing the guests to make phone calls. This is the huge failure on the part of the government when you look at it, and considering the fact that the school is actually owned by the federal government.
Exactly. The children were abducted in the custody of the federal government. They were supposed to be under the protection of the federal government when they were abducted. And I think that is the more reason why their abductor, the notorious warlord Dogo Gide, claimed that he will not negotiate their release with their parents. He will only accept negotiations with the government. That is one. And I think there is a failure of intelligence report in terms of how it actually happened. There is intelligence negligence, because these abductors sent a letter indicating that they will be raiding the school about a week earlier before they actually went to the school. And they went to the school at the time, on the day and the time that they actually wrote, communicated in the notice that they will be coming. So just imagine this. And after the abduction, the parents formed a committee. There is an association, a Prejo group in the Yauri Emirate called the Yauri Emirate Development Association. They united with the parents. They tried to have a press conference, but they were frustrated by the security agents. The security agents refused to allow them to hold that first conference.
You made a very important point when you said intelligence negligence. And from what we've clearly seen here is that negligence or inefficiency within the intelligence or policing system led to the adoption, even why there was warning, there were early warnings about it potentially happening. Yeah. And when you look at it, in fact, as I was saying earlier in the conversation, there has been several adoptions in the region. Yes. And so which means that security forces should have been alerted prior to that. But in this specific case, there was an early warning that we are coming to your school, and nothing really happened to prevent it from happening.
Well, we will not say nothing happened, because they actually took some a couple of police officers to the school gate, but they could not
Yeah, it wasn't enough. The threat still happened. And exactly. So ideally, when you get an intelligence that something is going to happen, it's putting in place structures to ensure that it does not happen.
Exactly.
Especially when you have kids involved. And now also, we are also seeing that now when this constant communication, the location of the adopters is not even being marked. And so what exactly is the state doing to do that? This is really troubling for the families, and only God knows how the kind of pain and trauma that they go through. But the investigation is really an excellent one, very important now. And we hope that authorities will do the needed action to reunite the girls.
That's actually our hope.
So thank you for coming on the Crisis Room. We hope to also have you more and after subsequent investigations.
Thank you very much.
This is an episode of the Crisis Room. Join us in 2 weeks' time for another episode. The producer is Anthony Asemota. The executive producer is Ahmed Salkira.